The epistle for Holy Saturday is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, the third chapter. Brethren, if you be risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Mind the things that are above, not the things that are upon the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ shall appear, who is your life, then you shall appear with him in glory. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 28. And in the end of the Sabbath, when it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and coming rolled back the stone and sat upon it. And his countenance was as lightning, and his raiment as snow. And for fear of him, the guards were struck with terror and became as dead men. And the angel answering said to the women, "Fear not you, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord was laid. And going quickly, tell ye his disciples that he is risen. And behold, he will go before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I have foretold it to you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. When it began to dawn the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, in the African country of Ghana, there was a prevalent custom which was inspired by the practice of the pagan cult of that country. Like all pagan ritual and superstition, it was dark, sad, and inhumane. It was a practice which arose from the false belief that the 10th child of a family was somehow cursed by the gods. As you can imagine, this gave a great deal of terror to the parents, for they lived in fear of bringing a 10th child into the world, even if this was the will of God for them. And if they did see themselves as cursed with what was supposed to be a blessing, they lived in constant fear that something terrible was going to happen to this little one. Some unknown fate was about to come upon it. And for the poor little ones, they lived their lives under what we would call house arrest. Most time in conditions that were sub-poverty, in a one-room house with a dirt floor, they were never allowed to play the games of simple children. They were never allowed the delight to go out and even take a walk in the sunlight. Well, imagine the delight and the freedom that came to these families as the gospel was preached in that country for the first time, as these superstitious errors were put away, and the people began to know the freedom and the peace of following Christ in the one true religion. And imagine what it was like for those children who had lived under what they were told was a curse. Sometimes they were in near adulthood when the missionaries would arrive. But they would step out into the sunlight for the first time. They would begin to live their life in earnest, enjoying the games of the other children and being able to live life at its fullest. Well, this freedom that came to them from the preaching of the gospel pales in comparison to the freedom from the slavery of sin that the entire human race labored under until the resurrection of our Lord. We considered yesterday during Traore what love our Lord had for mankind, and especially for the souls of men. And today the liturgy brings that story of our Lord's love for us to life. Early this morning we began with the blessing of the Easter fire and the Paschal candle. The lighting of the new fire represents the resurrection of Christ. It symbolizes the return of the fire of life into his dead body in the tomb. The blessing of the new fire is followed by the blessing of grains of incense. These grains of incense symbolize the sweet smell of the wounds of Christ, sweet because by these wounds we were healed, sweet because they are an expression of his love. These blessings are then followed by the procession into the dark church. The procession of light coming into the darkened church reminds us again of our Lord who declared, "I am the light of the world." He said of himself, "He that follows me shall not walk in darkness." The deacon entering the church then with the threefold candle is symbolic of bringing the light of Christ back into the church, just as Christ himself brought light into the world. The deacon carries a three-pronged reed, and this is fitting, for he himself has a threefold representation. In the office of the deacon for this morning, we see a symbol of Our Lady, who gave the world the light of the world by bringing our Lord into the world that first Christmas night. We see St. Mary Magdalene, who was sent to preach the resurrection of Christ to his apostles. And we see Christ himself become a servant and a slave for us. But we especially see St. Mary Magdalene. The deacon represents her, for it was she whom Christ appeared to early that Easter Sunday morning, and then sent her to his apostles to preach his resurrection from the dead. The deacon echoes the same message that Mary would have had. Stopping three times, he proclaims, "Lumen Christi," that means the light of Christ. As the deacon sings "Lumen Christi," the choir responds, "Deo gratias," thanks be to God. This is the light of Christ that enlightens the world even unto our day, and dissipates sin and the worldly spirit. The procession terminates then as the blessing of the Paschal candle begins. Now the focus is entirely upon Christ and his love for us. The Paschal candle, before it was lit, symbolizes the dead body of Christ, laying in the tomb on that cold slab of stone. In our Lord's body, there were the five wounds. In the Paschal candle, there are five empty holes. The blessing of the candle begins, and in the course of this blessing, five of those pieces of incense that were blessed outside at the new fire are placed into the holes in the candle. Once the Paschal candle is lit, then the other candles in the church are lit as well. The lit Paschal candle then stands as a representation of Christ, while the other candles represent us. We receive the light of faith from the light of Christ, just as these candles received their fire from the Paschal candle, from the original fire. And we receive the fire of love from the heart of Christ, the fire that burns in his own sacred heart. In the course of the ceremonies surrounding the Paschal candle, the Exultet is sung. The Exultet is regarded as one of the most beautiful pieces ever written, and it tells the story of man's fall from grace and of God's love in his redemption. "Let the heavenly troops of angels rejoice," it reads. "Let the divine mysteries be joyfully celebrated." In these words, the Exultet shows what great joy is coming into the church with the light of Christ. It speaks of that wondrous night of our Lord's resurrection and his victory over death. "This is the night," it says, "in which, destroying the chains of death, Christ arose victorious from the grave. O inestimable affection of love, that thou mightest redeem a slave." After the blessing of the Paschal candle, then follows the prophecies, one last reminder to us of all of the solicitude that God had for the chosen people, from the book of Genesis to the book of Daniel. We see in these prophecies the providential hand of God, down through the ages, awaiting the Messiah. These are then followed by the litany of the saints, whereupon we call upon the saints of heaven to come to our assistance. And finally, there is the first Mass of Easter, the Mass that we are joyously celebrating right now. It is celebrated on Holy Saturday because the church, as it were, cannot wait. She is filled with such expectation and anticipation that she begins the celebration of Christ's resurrection today. And so these ceremonies show us how much we have for which to be grateful. We have the true faith. We have the true Mass. We have the very Lamb of God in our midst here in the tabernacle. He is the Prince of our life. He died so that we may reign. And he rose from the dead so that we may one day rise with him, glorious, and live forever in heaven. May Almighty God bless you, and may you have a happy Easter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.